Well, it sure is a beautiful view from up here to see all you guys. So it's been a great day so far, and learned a lot of Bible today. The first teaching was about God fighting our battles, right? And that was really tremendous because God fights our battles. The second teaching was about the victory or the triumph that we have because of Christ in the new birth. And what I'd like to share a little bit today on or right now is about living the victory. God fights our battles, and in the new birth, we have the victory spiritually, but also now we need to live it once Jesus Christ accomplished it for us. Sure is great to see everybody here, and the cool thing, you know, for us being here is it's God's word that draws people together. You know, we don't use pressure, you know, to get people to go to fellowship and whatever. But if you like the food and if you like the service and you like the atmosphere, you go to the restaurant. If you like the food the fellowship serves and the love and the service in there, that kind of motivates us to go to the fellowship. But I'm really blessed to be able to be here. You know, for some of us this year, it's been a tremendous year, and we've seen God do so many things. But you know, sometimes life has its challenges, doesn't it? And some of us have had a few challenges this year. And no matter, you know, what the circumstances are, we need to live the victory. Take your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 6, please, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6 today, and we're going to look at living the victory. How many of you have Nike sneakers on? Who's got some Nikes on? Anybody? A couple of Nikes. Stand up there. You got Nikes on? Come on. Stand up. Oh, look at that. He's holding. Give him a hand. Come on. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Somebody took their shoe off. I think you could buy that shoe after the teaching. So, the word for victory in the Bible, the word for victory is the word nike or Nike, and or nikeo is the verb form. And it's translated in the Bible victory, it's translated overcome, or it's translated to conquer. So, this word nike or Nike or Nikeo is translated victory, overcome, or conquer, whether, you know, some of it's a noun or a verb. But in Acts chapter 6, and we have here in Acts chapter 6 and in verse 5, is Nicholas Sinardo in here? Where is Nicholas? Okay, would you stand up and read this verse loud and proud for us, okay? In Greek, please.
Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch.
Okay, looks like we have a proselyte of Antioch in here, or maybe a couple of them. So the word Nicholas in the Bible comes from the word Nike. It comes from the word Nike. So if your name is Nicholas, Nicholas in the Greek means victory of the people. There's other names that we have in the Bible that have this word Nike or Nikeo in it. Nicodemus, Bernice, Nicopolis was a city in Macedonia. Nicopolis, it's polis, which is city, and victory, it was a city of victory. There's many verses that we're going to look at today, and most of the verses that we look at will have this word, this Greek word, in it, nike or nikeo. Look at John chapter 16, please, because we want to study our victory. We really want to know how to apply it. Bob covered a lot of things that we were victorious or triumphant in. Wasn't that cool to see what that, the triumph, Roman processional? John 16, please. John 16. John 16. John 16. Some of you guys have cell phones with the Bible on them. I think Paul had one of those. John 16, verse 33. This was pretty close to the end of Jesus' life there. And in verse 33, this is before he was captured, but in verse 33 it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have what?
Tribulation.
But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In the world you're going to have tribulation. The word tribulation in the Bible, it means affliction or pressure. A New Jersey translation might be, it's what you feel when the shit hits the fan, or right before it hits the fan, or right after. That's not 100% accurate. Don't write that down. You guys from New York, I don't want you to get the wrong impression. So it's pressure. It's affliction. We go through that as human beings. In the world, stuff happens. Oh, it seems like it's going to happen, or we think it's going to happen, or it does happen. And man, it's all over us sometimes. That's part of being a human being, isn't it? There was a bumper sticker in New Jersey many years ago. Shit happens. Do you ever see that? Milagros, don't translate that, please. Okay, that's the end of my teaching. I'm hungry. All right, now, look at this. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's that word there, overcome, and it's one of those words, nike or nikeo. Jesus Christ won the victory. And we saw from Bob's teaching some of what he won, how victorious that was in the triumph. Jesus Christ won the victory. He won the victory. We don't have to win it. It's won already. We just need to claim it. "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Pressure, affliction. "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." This word, "be of good cheer," is a Greek word that you might want to look up sometime if you're a Greek fan or you have friends that are Greek. It's T-H-A-R-S-E-O, tharseo, and it means to be of good courage, to take courage, or to cheer up. And in the Bible, it's used exactly how it's used here. Something bad, then be of good courage because something good is going to happen or it's happening. So, something bad, in the world you're going to have tribulation. After that, take courage or be of good cheer because something else good is going to happen. In the world you're going to have tribulation. Cheer up, take courage, I've overcome the world. Let's take a look at how this word is used in another context. Look at Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Is it cold in here now? Is it hot in here now? Are you happy?
Yes.
Palm, are you happy? Are you okay? Look at Mark chapter 10, please. Mark 10. Mark 10. Mark 10. So, something bad? Take courage, be of good cheer, then something good. Look at Mark chapter 10. Now, there was a gentleman and he was blind. In Mark chapter 10 and in verse 46 it says, And they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho. Okay, maybe I'm too fast here. Verse 10:46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the wayside begging. In this situation, he wouldn't have been begging for money. He would have been begging for healing. So there he was, and he was blind, and he was out there, you know, and he wanted to be healed. Then, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." This dude is blind and he can't see, but he knows Jesus is passing by. This is his shot. This is his shot. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." You'd probably do the same. I'd probably do the same. I'm blind and I know the Son of God's passing by. I'm going to cry out. I'm taking my shot. And many charged him that he should hold his what? Dude, shut up. And he cried the more, "A great deal, thou Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me." Dude, shut up. And he keeps crying out. That was his time. That was his shot, and he took it. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, be of good cheer, take courage, rise, he calleth thee." Dude, it's okay. Cheer up, take courage, it's your turn to meet the master. And he met the master on this day by the wayside, and blind Bartimaeus got healed. Blind Bartimaeus had a problem, and he was blind. He was blind, and he was crying out with all he had, and people were saying, "Be quiet." And then they came over to him and said, "Be of good courage, cheer up. He wants to talk to you." And bam, he got healed. Look back at John 16, please. John 16. John 16:33, it says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation." Maybe some of us cry out to God. Maybe some of us are just crying out. Tribulation. Cheer up. Cheer up. Take courage. Jesus Christ overcame the world. Something bad? Cheer up. Jesus Christ overcame the world. In living the victory, we can take courage. We can cheer up because Christ overcame the world. Look at 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, please. "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If we're going to be of good cheer, we need to remember his accomplishments, that we have the victory. 1 John chapter 4, please, and in verse 4. This is a very common verse, one we teach a lot. It's a good one here. 1 John 4:4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them," nikeo them, conquered them, been victorious over them, "because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world." Now, I'd like you just to do something, just to repeat this. Now, I'd like everybody to say this. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Okay? Now, this is difficult. Okay? Now, let's try it. Ready? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. One more time. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, is that true?
Yes.
It's absolutely true. So it's a nice little fun thing to do. Everybody says it. But you know what? It's more than that. It's the truth. And if we walk out of here really knowing and believing that, just that one statement alone could change our life. It's the word of God. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have the victory, but we need to claim it. We have the victory over the adversary and all those wonderful things that Lance and Bob taught about. You know, Dr. Rowell once said, "You tell me what you think about Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you how far you go spiritually." Remember that? Hey, Jesus Christ won the victory. If we believe he won the victory, then it's going to be a lot easier to believe greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if I'm really going to walk out of here and live victoriously and walk out on this, then we need to really believe that that's what it is. You know, in the Gospels, there was a devil spirit named Legion. Remember that? Maybe you'll talk to a devil spirit sometime. And if you do, you better believe that it's God and Christ in you, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We're sons of God with all power, and we need to claim the victory. You know, you hear on the news all the time about the unclaimed winning lottery ticket. Oh my, if I had that, what would I do with it? That's a shame that somebody didn't get that lottery ticket, isn't it? But you know, a believer who doesn't claim what they have in Christ, what we have in Christ is a lot greater than a winning lottery ticket. So instead of focusing in on, gee, I wish I had the Mega Million jackpot, in Christ we have a lot more than the Mega Million jackpot, and God is just waiting for us to rise up and claim it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Bob spent a lot of time in this section. We're going to read verse 14. It says, 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." When we live it, when we hold forth God's word, it's light. And man, that's very pleasing to God, isn't it? Very pleasing to God, but there's other people that it isn't. "For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savior unto death, and the other the savior unto life, and who is sufficient for these things?" Verse 17 falls in an interesting context of this. "For we are not as many which corrupt or water down, dilute, corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity or being genuine, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Look at the context of this. It's in the context of, you know, being a sweet smell to God. Why not speak the word? We don't have to hold back. We don't have to water down God's word. Why? Because to God, it smells really good. We live the word and we're pleasing to him. For other people, we'll never please them because they'll never be pleased with God's word. So we don't have to be people pleasers and water down anything. We can just speak it. And that's the context of that. So because we triumph in Christ, we don't have to be a phony. We can be real. We can be genuine. We can just be who we are and live it and speak it. Why? Because that's what God wants and it pleases God. And some people will never please. So what's the use of trying to please them? We're okay. We can be genuine. It's okay. We don't have to front. We can be genuine because we please God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15. In living the victory, that's what we're studying here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Bob read these verses here a while ago. Verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the what? In the football game. No. Victory over death in the context. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, therefore. Why for the therefore? Because of the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because we have eternal life, we have the victory over death, and we're going to be rewarded for the things that we do. So, sometimes in life, things go really well, and sometimes it doesn't go really well, but in the long-term perspective of everything, we know we're going to be rewarded, so our actions don't have to fluctuate all the time. Life is full of situations where we can choose to make long-term decisions or short-term decisions. If some of you are in the real estate business in here, if I'm going to live in my house for 50 years more, should I be freaked out that the value of my house went down 2%? No. Why? Because in the long term, that's what I want to look at. Those of you who've been to business school, they teach people long-term profit maximization. We got to look at the long term. Those of you baseball fans, if your team starts off and loses the first game of the season, should you throw the whole season out? It sucks. The team is going to be terrible. After 1 year, they say what? It's a long season, dude. Just chill out. Sometimes in life, we get all bummed out because there's tribulation in the world. There's tribulation, and we get all bummed out, and we have a bad day. We have a bad week. We have a bad month, and then we want to do different things, and we're freaked. In the long-term scope, it's a small little blimp. It's a small little blimp. Just look at this. It says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to be rewarded for the things that we do. It's a different thing than just living for the present. Look at Romans chapter 8, please. Romans 8. Living the victory in a long-term perspective. Romans 8. Romans 8 and in verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are super conquerors. This is the word nikeo again with another word on it. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these adverse situations, we're more than conquerors in every situation. Look at Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12. So in the doctrinal section of the book of Romans, it says there we're more than conquerors. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 21. Romans 12, 21. Here we see this word used twice. It says, be not overcome, be not conquered. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In Romans chapter 8, it says we're more than conquerors. That's what it says in the doctrinal section of the book of Romans. Here in this situation, in the practical section of the book of Romans, it says, be not overcome, be not conquered with evil, but overcome evil with good. In the doctrinal section, it says we're more than conquerors. In the practical section, it says, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what's the context of it? The context here in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 17. Romans 12, 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So in the context here, being not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, is number one, we're more than conquerors. We don't have to let anything conquer us. But when we repay evil for evil, when we break the word or we do something off the word to get somebody back or try to correct the situation, then we've fallen short. Is Josh in here? Where's Josh? Josh, come up here. I gotta kick your butt. Come on up here. Come on up, Josh. Come on up here. No, wait a minute. You guys shouldn't laugh at this. This is serious. Come on up, Josh. Now, I've been mad at Josh for a long time. Now, I'm gonna pick a fight with him. See, I really heard him. Okay, go ahead, push me over. Okay. All right, come on. Oh! Okay, no more. Give him a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you may think I'm stupid, but I wasn't going to push him again because that would not have been smart. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How many fights start because we gotta give it back? Or somebody does something wrong, and instead of acting on the word, we act away from the word or contrary to the word, and then that makes the situation worse. Why not act on the word instead of react in an ungodly way? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In review then, in living the victory, despite negative circumstances, we can take courage or cheer up because Christ overcame the world. In living the victory, we need to claim the victory that Christ gave us. Because we triumph in Christ, we can be real, genuine, not a phony, and hold it forth, knowing that we're a sweet smell to God. Because of Christ's victory over death, we can be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain because we get rewards. We're super conquerors. We're not to be overcome or conquered by evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. And to close, let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1 to close. You know, the world needs people to walk and to live God's word. And in doing that, when we got it down, we can help people to get hot on God's word again. Whether they've tasted and been taught God's word like we have, or maybe it's a person that's never been taught like we have, We can help people. We can help to restore people. We can help to bind the wounds, to heal people, to get people so they're hot on God's word again. I believe we've been taught God's word in a tremendously accurate way. We have something to share with people. Joshua chapter 1, please. This is the last section we're going to go to here. Then we'll take a break, and Michael will tell you about all that stuff. Okay, Joshua chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Joshua. That's not true. Joshua chapter 1. It says here in Joshua, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." That's how it reads in the Hebrew. "Moses, my servant, is dead." Very strong. "Now, after a period of mourning, now, therefore, arise and" what? "Arise and go. Why sit we here until we die? Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go." Arise and go. "Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Look, it's all yours. It's all yours, you guys. All you have to do is walk into the promised land, fight the battles. God promised the victory. The victory was there. All they had to do was go into the promised land and get it. Our victory today is not in the promised land, but if you would, in the land of promises. And it's all ours. All we got to do is walk and claim it. The victory is totally ours. We don't have to win the victory anymore. All we have to do is claim what's ours in Christ. Living the victory, we need to claim it, and we need to arise and go. The victory has been won. Now all we got to do is live it. Father, thank you for this wonderful word. Thank you for the accomplishments of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for all that you do for us. Thank you for the privilege we have to know you and to know your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.